Introductory online Bible course. You only pay for your textbooks. CTU provides the rest. Go to conservative.edu for more info. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today on Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the subject matter, the issue we're speaking on today, responding to tragedy.
A new president in America, but an old call to prayer straight from the good book.
True Commentary with Stu Epperson, author of the...
All of a sudden, we had something interfering with an announcement that was from the control tower there. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what just took place. Another little blip in the realm of what I call demonic activity on technology. Anyway, I am sorry for the interruption. Thank you so much for being with us. We're talking about responding to a tragedy. That tragedy is the one that took place in D.C. with the helicopter and the airplane colliding, 67 lives lost. But with that tragedy, we want to talk about how do we respond to it. What is a biblical principle as to handling tragedy? Got with me today, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis. Both are professors in the Conservative Theological University. We're delighted that they have taken time out of their busy schedule to talk about that. But I'm concerned, ladies and gentlemen, when we see, we can talk about, let me just, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, let me just take a moment and reorient our listeners. Some of the questions. Why only one flight attendant rather than two? Why is it that the hires were done based on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, and not based on ability or merit? Why was the chopper flying at the wrong altitude that collided with the plane? Did the flight controller keep the planes separated properly, or was there a distraction that prevented that flight controller from controlling the airspace? Why did just three, not four, men beyond that chopper? I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you got the two in the front seat and then two in the jump seats so that they can see out of both sides of the chopper to give clearance as to what is taking place. Apparently, and I don't know this, but it's evident that more than likely the side of the chopper that collided with the airplane was because they did not have anyone looking out of that side to give clearance and direction. Plus the fact they were 350 feet higher in altitude than they should have been. But we can talk about all of these ifs, ands, and buts, just as we can go back to the tragedy of 9/11 with about 3,000 people being slain in one fell swoop. And we can talk about the tragedy of it, and it is tragic. But ladies and gentlemen, the greater question is right now, just how should we handle that? How should Christians, conservatives, view this tragedy? Dr. Phelps, give us some insight, some thought. Are there biblical references that you think would be fitting with what we're talking about today?
One of those events in the past is recorded for us in the book of Job in the Old Testament. Job endured the tragedy that included the loss of his welfare, his wealth, his health, his workers. Mm-hmm. And the Bible gives us some information about that. And when you read the book of Job, you'll realize that he was being tested. His faith was being tested. Mm-hmm. On the part of Satan, he wanted to tempt Satan, mm-hmm. and to show that he would just curse God and just turn away from God and lose his integrity. But God knew that he was a godly man, a righteous person, and that his faith would be tested and he would be proved to be a man of integrity. And the Bible tells us that Satan entered into the scene and caused a tragedy of the loss of his family, loss of his health and wealth. His wealth consisted primarily of animals, that is, stock, like a farmer, like a cattle owner. And he lost his workers as well. And when that happened, Job responded by saying, "The Lord gave, and the Lord takes away. Mm-hmm. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job did not sin and charge God foolishly, the Bible says. Job was unhappy about that, of course.
Yeah.
And Job complained. And Job, in many cases throughout the book, speaks of his own righteousness, but he, at the close of the book, was a man who knew how to repent, and he repented and confessed his efforts to show himself to be righteous, but he should have shown how God is righteous. God takes care of his own. And so, as a result of this incident in the life of Job, we see how man can then be victorious and come out with the victory.
Absolutely.
Amen.
One of the things, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, that many, I believe, in a time like this, do not recognize is the brevity of life. Dr. Davis, in James, the 4th chapter, the 14th verse, the one portion of that verse says, "Our life is as a vapor." What does that mean?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I have to believe that we must understand that as human beings, this is a temporary dwelling. Mm-hmm. That's basically what a vapor appears temporarily when a pot is boiling.
Right.
You see the steam go up, but it vanishes in the air. Mm-hmm. That's basically the way our life is. We are here temporarily. We wasn't put here to stay. Mm-hmm. If we came here, surely we're going to leave here someday.
Right.
So for that reason, then, we ought to be preparing ourselves against that day. Now, God is a sovereign. We must understand he is always in control.
Right.
That's the reason why I have to believe, as I sat here a while ago and many thoughts were going through my head, I have to believe that that's why God desired for man not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because sin would enter the picture.
That's right.
Now, I have to believe that many things happen because of sin. Mm-hmm. Even accidents happen because of sin. Now, okay, I'm not saying that anybody on those flights did anything wrong. But the Bible lets us know we are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. But I do have to believe that many times life can end prematurely, or we die before the time, a lot of times, because things like this, accidents, are connected to sin as a result of sin. Now, Here's what I found in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 7. And this will explain some of what I'm trying to say. Ecclesiastes 7 verses 14 through 16 says, "In the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider. God also has set the one over against the other to the end that man should find nothing after him." In other words, we should be not taking any pleasure in anything, even if we prosper or if we don't have. In other words, don't set anything above God. He said, verse 15, "All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness." But get this, verse number 16 says, "Be not righteous overmuch, neither make thyself overwise. Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" Verse 17, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" Mm-hmm. That's where I'm getting to. This is where I'm going at. Things happen. We can die before the time. It's appointed unto man once to die.
Amen. That's
but
right.
After this, the judgment.
Right.
So, again, because of accidents and other things like that, many other things in life can happen. We can die and lose our lives prematurely before the time. And it's telling us that in the scripture. Mm-hmm. So for that reason, don't put life over God. Don't put prosperity over God. Don't put anything over God. Let's keep him first and let's prepare against that day, because we don't know the day or the hour.
Amen. That is the key. In fact, I've used the term that every heartbeat, every breath is on loan from God.
Amen.
He controls our heartbeat and our every breath. So the point that I want our listeners to understand, this tragedy, this tragic event, 67 lives snuffed out. We can't point to it and say it's because of sin, but we know that because of sin, death comes.
Amen.
According to Scripture. Dr. Phelps, there's a text in Luke's Gospel, and it talks about the Tyre Siloam that fell, and share that text and your understanding of that text and how it is fitting for our understanding today.
The Bible records that record of that Jesus spoke about in Luke 13, starting in verse number 2. Jesus answered, said unto them, "Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things?" Now, the previous verse says that there were those present who told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Apparently, Pilate had mistreated some people, mm-hmm. as many times governors, pagan governors, will, and that he had killed some people who were apparently in the process of sacrificing to God. Mm-hmm. But Jesus said, "I tell you, nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." Of those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think you that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? And so he concludes by saying, "I tell you, no," or "nay. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish." We don't know what's going to happen. Only
Amen.
God does. Mm-hmm. We face tragedy or accident at any time.
Right.
Accidents happen when we don't realize it's going to happen, of
Amen.
Course.
Amen.
But we're not to think then of some people being exceedingly great sinners, and that caused their accident.
That's right.
Amen.
So it's possible that these were all good people. And many times in the Bible, like the book of Job, we have examples of bad things that happened to good people.
Mm-hmm.
So Luke tells us the same thing. These people may not have been exceedingly great sinners. Mm-hmm. We don't know. Only the Lord knows. And so we just need to know that we need to be right with God.
Amen. Absolutely. Amen.
Because Amen. An accident could happen. We need to have our hearts right with God, have our hearts clean,
Amen.
Have our lives cleaned up so that we're in fellowship with God.
Amen.
Amen.
You touched on that about bad things. There was a Jewish rabbi a number of years ago that wrote a book, Why Bad Things Happen to Good People. And his philosophy was, it was a good sounding title, but I read the book. It was a little pocketbook size, 70, 80 pages. And his position was that God was not in control, that God could not help bad things happening to good people, and therefore bad things happen to good people. And so that's the flip-flop of the reality. The reality is God's sovereign, God's in control, and bad things happen to good people and Amen. To bad people. And it goes back to the sin factor. And I bring that in
Amen.
Because
Amen.
I'm looking
Amen.
At this headline that says, President orders, that's President Trump, orders review of the FAA diversity hiring agenda, wants problems corrected. The article reads, President Donald Trump has ordered the Secretary of Transportation and the Chief of the Federal Aviation Administration to review all the DEI practices imposed on the nation's air traffic control system during the regime of Joe Biden and to take such corrective action as necessary to achieve uncompromised aviation safety. That would include the replacement of any employees who do not meet the qualification standards for carrying out their work. The FAA had played a prominent role in use of the Joe Biden's DEI standards, which used race and gender ideology as benchmarks for hiring, subordinating a candidate's actual expertise and qualifications for the job. The point being, ladies and gentlemen, in that article, it's pointing out because of man's sin, because of man, i.e. the Biden administration, making decisions about the appeasement of the so-called multi-genders, that somehow, some way, that could be used as a qualifying factor for hiring people. It can't. And we see the end result as the frailty, the faults, and the falling of the sinful heart of man, and what has been the end result of death and destruction as a result of that. We need to understand that there's a need to go back to the fundamental basics of being obedient to what the Word of God says. I believe we have Kevin on the line. Kevin, go over the question or comment, please.
God bless you, Dr. Youngblood. Good afternoon, sir. How y'all doing there?
Good. Great.
Good morning.
Pray you're doing well.
Good morning. Praise God. We're doing well. Thank God Trump's in office. I love all the executive orders. I think it's great what he's doing. It's such a blessing to have him in office again. And I thank everybody for praying hard and fighting for this battle. But what I've seen, Dr. Youngblood, from my research is that they alerted the helicopter pilot. The ultimate fault lies in the helicopter pilot. And I think they got hijacked or something else is going on, because he should have seen that plane at 10 o'clock. He was coming at a 45-degree angle at the plane. He should have seen him. And it says that the air traffic controller alerted him 19 seconds, 20 seconds before he hit the plane. He says, you need to go behind the plane coming at you, CRT or whatever they call it. But he alerted him, says, you need to go behind this plane that's coming at you. And there was no response from the helicopter pilot. So something went on in that helicopter that made that crash happen, I believe. Because they got
Kevin, you're right and partially right. There was a problem with the flight controller, because the flight controller asked the question, do you see the plane? And if you look at the video footage of that particular event, there were other planes that were cruising over and around. And so he didn't say, do you see the plane at 9 o'clock? Do you see the plane at 3 o'clock? Do you see the plane at 1 o'clock? Can you see the plane at 6 o'clock? And it's the clock that is used in aviation to determine left, right, up, or down where you're seeing that's around you. And so he just simply asked, do you see the other plane? And the pilot and the chopper apparently said yes. He said, then go behind him. But listen, here's the problem. That chopper was 550 feet, supposed to be 200 or less, so he was at the altitude and the level of the plane on its glide slope coming in to land at DCA. So therefore, I believe it goes back to the lack of aviation separation that is the responsibility, the sole single responsibility of the flight controller. And when you got a flight controller that's working 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, and carrying the double shift of carrying out the flight control for the choppers and for the planes, that put the burden on that flight controller. So was it his fault? I think yes. Should he be blamed for it? No, because it's the FAA's responsibility to make sure the hiring was done based on qualification and ability and based on having the proper number of staff to watch those planes. If you just look at photographs and videos of the number of aviation vehicles that were in the air simultaneous to this taking place, to me, it's totally mind-boggling. It is staggering. In fact, Dr. Phelps and Dr. Davis, when I and Kevin, I think about that, and I think about getting in a plane, and you're like a marble out there in the space with hundreds around you going the same direction at the same. It scares the socks off me, and thinking about that being the potential with no controller that's qualified to do the job. So, Kevin, the bottom line is, from a Christian perspective, what is your advice to the listeners that lost a loved one in that flight or that has had tragic events in their lives? What is the hope that we have? What hope do you give the listener in relationship to the Word of God?
Well, yes, absolutely. That, we could perish tomorrow. God could take us home anytime he wants to. It's his call. He owns us. Everything is from him, regardless. And we need to honor that God, all the wealth we have, everything we have is from him. Even the life we have is not ours own, but he gave us that life. So by all means, and this is the thing, we are at the end of days. This thing is over, people. And people need to get right with God. You need to repent and seriously get right with God, because the plague is coming. Millions and billions will die from this plague that's going to happen shortly. And people need to get right with God, because we are in the last days. And
Kevin,
people need
Kevin,
to get
I
right
could,
and, get, and,
I could,
and give their lives
I
to Jesus
have,
Christ. Yeah, sure.
Kevin, I couldn't have stated any better myself. We're in the last of the last days. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. Number one, the rapture is at hand. And secondly, we need to recognize that in the last days we'll have perilous times, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 and following. And the word perilous means dangerous, dark, devastating, difficult, deadly days. And that's what we're witnessing today. Kevin, thank you so much for your... Go ahead.
Thank you, Dr. Plug. And I've seen those dark days and dreams and vision. Tell me, I've seen it. God showed me many times. Dark times are coming. Yes, sir. Thank you, Dr.
Absolutely.
Youngblood.
Keep praying. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, Dr. Youngblood, certainly, just a voice, something that I heard him say a while ago. The thought certainly crossed my mind as the research goes on and the information is coming out. I hope with all my being that it doesn't turn out to be terrorist activity involved in this that took the lives of all of these people. Certainly, I thought about that, you know, that possibly someone on that helicopter could have got overtaken by one of the other people there. I mean, and he mentioned that in what he just got finished saying. Mm-hmm. That thought certainly crossed my mind. I hope that that doesn't.
I hope that's not the case, and I pray that it's not based on the evidence. It doesn't point that way at the present time. But one of the things, Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps, that I see, I'm looking at a headline, she has served 15 years in the military and wants to serve more, a transgender service member's perspective. And it goes on to talk about a young woman that says in the article is an IT professional in the private sector and the former digital manager of the an organization, serves in the Virginia Army National Guard, and as a UH-60 Black Hawk helicopter pilot. She is transgendered and fears that due to the new executive orders issued by President Trump, she may not be any longer able to serve her country in military. Ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fact in tragedy like this, We can point the fingers. We can find those that are at fault. We can find and place blame. And they've just retrieved the black boxes from the chopper and the plane. And that will give the recording interest to what the pilots were saying, what they saw, what they thought, their last words, which hopefully will give us a little better understanding of this tragic event. But the bottom line is, because of sin and the mindset of hiring in the past with the loose likes, lost liberals in control and the social engineering taking place in society, we face the end result, I believe, today as a result of it. But our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness.
Amen.
Dr. Phelps, in the few minutes we have left, I want to split that time between you and Dr. Davis. What would be your challenge to our listeners? They may not have had a lost loved one in this tragic event, but they could be facing tragedy, difficulty. How should they view it? What should we instruct or communicate to them?
One of the things we can communicate to people who have suffered the loss of loved ones is that there is hope for the future. The Bible speaks to us of the hope that we have as Christians, and we call it the blessed hope.
Amen.
It's the hope of the soon coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that in the book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 13. And it reads, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The next big event on the calendar of things to come is, for the family of God, of course, is the blessed hope of Jesus coming again. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's one of the places in the Bible where we believe it's talking about the rapture.
Absolutely.
And Jesus is coming again.
And that's our blessed hope.
The second coming of Christ is the main attraction of the future events.
Absolutely. And Dr. Davis, in the last few seconds we've got, from the standpoint of knowing that our life is a vapor, we're here today, gone tomorrow, what challenge do you give our listeners?
Well, let me just say, cry out to God.
Amen.
When Peter was sinking down in the water after stepped out to go to Jesus, he said three words, Lord, save me.
Absolutely.
You don't have to call him grand architect of the universe. He already knows who he is.
That's right.
So just ask him to save you.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You've been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located 1 mile south of I-295, FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
A new president in America, but an old call to prayer straight from the